Chromosomes. Little strands of nucleic acids and proteins are the fundamental genetic instructions that tell us who we are at birth. Most people are born with 46 chromosomes, but each year in the United States, about 6,000 people are born with an extra chromosome, making them a person with Down syndrome. If you've ever encountered someone with Down syndrome, you know that they are some of the kindest, most joyful people you will ever meet. They truly have something extra. My name is Lisa Nichols, and for 30 years, I have been both the CEO of Technology Partners and the mother to Allie. Allie has something extra in every sense of the word. I have been blessed to be by her side as she impacts everyone she meets. Through these two important roles as CEO and mother to Allie, I have witnessed countless life lessons that have fundamentally changed the way I look at the world. While you may not have an extra chromosome, every leader has something extra that defines who you are. Join me as I explore the something extra in leaders from all walks of life and discover how that difference in each of them has made a difference in their companies, their families, their communities, and in themselves. If you like this episode today, please go to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen and leave us a 5-star rating. I'm grateful to have Johnny Erickson Tata on the show today. Johnny is an author, speaker, and the founder and CEO of Johnny and Friends. Well, Johnny, I am beyond honored today to have you on the Something Extra podcast. I am so delighted. I told you I have been a fan of yours for 50 years. I remember reading your book in high school, seeing the movie. I think it came out in 1980. Remember going and seeing that. You are such an inspiration to millions. And I'm just honored that you would say yes to be with me today.
Absolutely, Lisa. It's a delight to see your smiling face. And of course, a special greeting to all of our friends who are joining us on this podcast. Most of them, I'm sure, in the corporate world. And we got lots to talk about, don't we, Lisa?
We do. We do. And I have to give a shout out to our mutual friend, Susan Flippin, who connected us. I'm so grateful to her, Johnny, because she was the one that connected the two of us.
Well, you know, it's all about networking, friends together who have similar interests, and I think you and I do, Lisa.
I agree. Goodness gracious, we've got so much to talk about here, but I do want to really, I told you in our 30 minutes together, Johnny, there's so much to you. You've written over 50 books. We'll talk about some of the ministries. I can't believe how many ministries you founded. We'll talk about those, but I'm hoping that we'll whet the listeners' appetite. So go and listen to the podcast. You have a radio show, Johnny and Friends. You even have family retreats, and maybe that they will decide to attend a family retreat.
Absolutely. And you've mentioned a lot of things there, Lisa. And let me just say, when I dove into shallow water 58 years ago, back in 1967, and I broke my neck and instantly became a quadriplegic, the farthest thing from my mind was writing books or starting a ministry that reaches millions of people with disabilities worldwide. That was farthest from my thinking. I was just so depressed and could not understand what God had in mind with this wheelchair. And I've lived in a wheelchair for a long time, and I've learned many good lessons about relationships and moving forward and persevering through pain. And I hope that we'll share a few snippets here together that might encourage our listeners.
Yes. And I want to talk about all of that. So for our listeners that maybe don't know Johnny's story, I mean, she did dive into the Chesapeake Bay when she was 17. I think you had a fracture between the fourth and the fifth cervical level. You grew up in Baltimore, right? You grew up in Baltimore.
Yes, I grew up in Maryland and had a desire to be a physical therapist. Of course, after I broke my neck, I could not go to college that fall and ended up in physical therapy, except on the wrong end.
On the wrong side. Oh my goodness. Isn't that, oh goodness gracious. Well, I know that you grew up with older sisters, right? Three older sisters. We've got Kathy, Jay, and Linda.
And let me say, they were all so supportive. You know, when you go through a tragedy, when you go through any kind of great loss or grief, it means the world to have a support system. My support system just happened to be the community of my family and friends. But we all need community. And certainly that's something that I believe God used to help push me into a life that He shaped to serve others.
Yeah, well, I just remember reading the stories of your sisters come in. Well, Kathy is the one that really kind of knew something was going on, right? So she kind of came to the rescue.
Well, I should share that story real quickly. My took that dive in the Chesapeake Bay, hit my head on a sandbar. It was indeed shallow water. I had not known how shallow until that point. And when I was floating face down in the water, near drowning, my sister Kathy, who I had gone to the beach with that day, she was walking through the shallow water, ready to go back up on the beach. And a crab bit her toe. She whirled around in the water to scream to me to watch out for crabs. And of course, when she saw my blonde hair floating on the surface, that alerted her, and she quick came swimming to help me. And just as I was about to drown, pulling in water, she pulled me up out of the water. And we often talk, my sister and me, we say, how, what are the odds? How good of God to send that little crab just to bite my sister's toe at the exact right instant that she needed to be alerted that her sibling was in danger. And so right away, I'm pushed into the reality of God's sovereignty. To what extent does He allow or permit things to happen? And that was a big question that I wrestled with the first few years of my disability.
You're right. I know you did. And you went through a couple years of, you were in the hospital and then, went to the rehab center. I can't remember, but City Hospital, right? Was that right? The University
University of Maryland Hospital.
of Maryland Hospital. But, Johnny, I would love to talk about that because we may have listeners out there that, and I told you, our middle daughter, Paige, was diagnosed with small and large fiber neuropathy 7 years ago. And so she's lived with chronic pain and, often says, what is all of this about? And that sort of thing. But I know, like, just from reading, and this would probably not come to any shock to anyone, but, you went through depression, tremendous depression. And at some point, Johnny, I think I even read you said, God, if you won't let me die, show me how to live.
Actually, that was the prayer that I prayed, Lisa, after about 2 years of deep depression and even despair. I would stay in my bedroom after I got out of the hospital. I would stay in my bedroom and tell my mother to close the drapes, turn out the light, shut the door, and just leave me alone. I didn't want to sit up in a wheelchair. I was so depressed. But finally, to be frank, I got tired of pitying myself. There's got to be more to life. Human beings were just too significant to while away our time in a dark bedroom. And so that's when I prayed, God, please, if I'm not going to die, because I tried to kill myself by wrenching my head back and forth on the pillow many nights, but if I can't die, God, then please show me how to live. And that little spark of hope was ignited by that very short, but yet very sincere prayer. And when I felt that flutter of hope in my heart, it made me dive deeper into the Word of God to find out where there might be more comfort and encouragement.
Yes, you're right. Well, and I know, Johnny, I mean, obviously, I mean, goodness gracious, you've gotten so many honorary doctorates and in theology and all kinds of things, but I know that your relationship with God through this has just evolved so much. Right? I
It
mean,
has. It has. And, I guess when I first started to come out of depression, I put myself under the tutelage of some wise young people who were more skilled in the Word of God than I was. And I remember one of them saying to me, Johnny, God permits what he hates to accomplish what he loves. And at first I didn't understand that, but then he pointed to the cross of Christ. God permitted betrayal, injustice, murder, and torture, all the things that led to Christ being impaled on that cross. God permitted that, all of that suffering, to accomplish something that he loved. And what could he possibly love above the torturous death of his own precious son? Well, how about millions and millions of people believing in what Christ did on the cross, that sacrifice, and coming to a saving faith in him and having a relationship with God? So God permits what he hates, my accident. He doesn't take any pleasure in suffering, for sure. But he permitted what he hated to accomplish something that he loves. And we only briefly mentioned it so far, Lisa, but I lead a global ministry that has served 14 million people with disabilities worldwide. And you might think, how does that happen? I can't even feed myself. I mean, the CEO of one of the largest Christian charities in America only has a high school education. You know, if I were God, I'd be worried. But, you know, God delights in using our weaknesses to accomplish his purposes. Yeah, I talk to many people in the corporate world, and they talk a lot about their strengths and their power, you know, to get things done. You know, they run with their strengths. They avoid exposing any weaknesses. And it's natural in business to leverage power and minimize your what you can't do or what you're not trained to do. But God delights in leveraging weakness and minimizing our power to get his work done. That's not the way of businesses in this world, but it is the way of the upside down kingdom of the cross. Weakness is always God's way of working. And honestly, Lisa, honestly, I don't think I've ever said this in an interview, but when I broke my neck so many years ago, I know God's heart broke for me, but I also know that his heart was breaking for the 1.3 billion people with disabilities in this world who live in dire conditions, in desperate poverty. So I'm convinced God was thinking of those 1.3 billion people with disabilities when he allowed me to break my neck. He was thinking of how 80% of them live in poverty. He was thinking of Psalm 10 and how he hears the cry of the afflicted. And now, when I see what we're doing through our hundreds of family retreats and our distribution of tens of thousands of wheelchairs around the world, I say, thank you, God. I never would have dreamed that when I was depressed and in that dark bedroom. Never, ever. Mm-hmm. But God. There you say, but God.
Yes. Oh, my goodness. That is so beautiful. Well, and the reality is, Johnny, it's our weakness, his strength. We are, you know, it's his strength that comes through in our weakness, right? And then, because if it were our strength that we were playing to, we would have the tendency to take the glory for that.
Absolutely.
But when you see him working in our weakness, it's like, it's what we were created to do.
Right.
Which is to bring him glory in all things, right?
Absolutely. And through my weakness, which was very humbling, God brought around me skilled experts in disability outreach. He brought a COO to us who was the former master chief of logistics for the Navy SEALs. This man is such a great operations manager. And we've got a president who's a former pastor. We've got just so many skilled, wonderful people around me. That's what we call a Johnny and Friends. And
yes.
I can't do all that work, but certainly I've got some good friends around me who are skilled, who do have the expertise.
Yeah, that is so good. That is so good. Well, let me ask you this, because you've learned a little bit about this. What does surrender look like to you, Johnny?
Oh, okay. There's this story in the Bible of a woman who had a bleeding hemorrhage for 12 years, and she had spent all her money on doctors. And her last hope was she heard Jesus was walking through the streets of Jerusalem, and she pushes through the crowd, and she grabs the hem of his garment. She doesn't even know what she's asking for. All she knows is, here's a man who could do something about my pain. And I think that surrender, where we just expose before God and others all of our lack of strengths, all of our weaknesses and limitations, and we say, Jesus, I can't do this, but you can.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I do almost every day, Lisa. I wake up, and like that woman, I just reach out for the hem of Christ's garment, because after 58 years of paralysis, I'm tired. I often feel like, God, I can't do this one more day. And then I have to say, but Jesus, I can do all things through you, mm-hmm. as you strengthen me. And I just hold on to his garment for the rest of the day, mm-hmm. and need Jesus desperately, just like that woman with the hemorrhage.
So, mm-hmm.
and she was healed physically, which is wonderful. And I love that about the story. She received a miraculous healing. I did not. My legs are still paralyzed. My hands are still paralyzed. But boy, I've been healed in the inside. I understand perseverance, endurance, patience. I understand peace. I understand contentment. I have courage. I think my soul is brave. And even though my singing voice isn't what it used to be, I sing songs of victory. And this is how I've been healed. Way, 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 way down deep where it counts. That's where it counts.
That's so beautiful. And your story is healing others and giving them courage and giving them peace and all of those things, right? You're sharing that through your story. You know, speaking of, I'm glad that you brought that up. I know that you sing, and I was listening. You did the title song for that movie, Alone, Not Yet Alone. And oh my goodness, Johnny, I just cried when I listened to the lyrics of that song, and your voice is so beautiful. But it talks about running to you when we are weak, presenting our weakness to you. I don't want to think that it can't be done. And you, I find my strength. It's so beautiful. Again, it's called Alone, Not Yet Alone. So go watch the movie, listeners. Listen to Johnny does the title song for that. And I know Ken had something to do with that too. I think he had to.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't
assist you on the
high. Right. Again, this was a movie company who had heard me sing at a convention, and the producer came up to me afterward and asked if I would please sing the lead song, the theme song for this movie, Alone Yet Not Alone. And I did. And of course, I couldn't hit the high notes. It was pretty high for me. And so Ken in the sound studio had to press on my abdomen to force out all my air so I could reach those high notes. But
it worked.
It did. And, you know, even though I can't sing like I used to, I still sing to myself. Here at the headquarters of Johnny and Friends, we've got a ramp that wraps around from the lobby. It wraps around the chapel and goes up to the second floor. And I could get to my office quicker if I used the elevator. But I love to go up that ramp and sing.
Sing.
You know, happy day, happy day, when Jesus washed our sins away. I just love singing because it's how I get through suffering. I sing my way through it.
Oh, that's beautiful. That's beautiful. That could be a book title. You've only written 50. I think you need to be working on 51. Well, Johnny, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back on the Something Extra podcast with Johnny Erickson Tana.
In business, the tendency is to seek out partners who are bigger, faster, stronger. When it comes to IT, you should be looking for smarter, faster, better. That's just what you'll find with the talented technologists at Technology Partners. Our experts develop custom solutions to tackle your most complex challenges, all to simplify your processes in the smartest, most efficient way possible. The time to be swift and nimble starts now. Go to technologypartners.net/solutions and see what's possible.
Well, welcome back, everyone, to the Something Extra podcast with Johnny Erickson Tata. Johnny, I just want to mention this for our listeners. You have got so many ministries. I was telling my husband this morning, you've got Wheels for the World. You've already kind of talked about that, but I think you've given over 300,000 wheelchairs so far, maybe more than that. You've got the family retreats, the getaways, an international family retreat, an internship program, the Johnny's House programs that are all over the world. Tell us more. Tell us a little bit about that, Johnny.
Well, giving wheelchairs is great. And of course, holding retreats for special needs families in Peru or Thailand or El Salvador or Eastern Europe, Cuba, Africa, Uganda. It's great to hold family retreats. I mean, these people live in such dire conditions that they need more than a wheelchair. They need much more than a week of rest and respite. They need medical supplies. They need to be scholarshiped for a surgery. They need hygiene kits. They need diaper pads for their incontinent child with cerebral palsy. They need so much more. And so we have 16 Johnny's Houses located around the world in places like Nepal and Uganda and Serbia, Brazil, and more. And these are places that are usually located near a hospital. We scholarship children with disabilities to have surgeries. We provide food for the family. We provide the necessary medical supplies such as chucks and diapers and urinary care products and things of that sort. We do Bible studies and Bible counseling for husbands and wives who are having a tough time. We also do micro enterprise so that young people with disabilities can learn a trade. In fact, in our Johnny's House in El Salvador, there are young adults with Down syndrome who pack up our coffee bags and are part of shipping them out. So we really try to address the holistic needs of those with disabilities. And it's the legacy program at Johnny and Friends. It's got my name on it, and I can't believe I am so privileged, so honored, so grateful. What did I do to ever deserve something like that? You know, to help the least of the brethren, the most unfortunate. It's just, to me, it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm. It is wonderful. And I'm just, oh, I'm teary-eyed just listening to you. But again, but God.
But God.
But God, right, Johnny? He has plans that are more than we can hope or imagine.
Yes.
So I'm just grateful to you. Well, let me ask you just this, and then I want to get into I just want you to talk a little bit about your latest book. But, you know, you've been at the helm of Johnny and Friends for a long time now. You know, what are some of those key leadership lessons that you've learned leading this organization?
Well, I have served as the CEO of Johnny and Friends for well over 4.5 decades. And in that time, I have had to forget everything about personal power leading to effective leadership. Because confidence and charisma and chutzpah, it counts for little in the long haul. It really does. The most effective leaders, they don't rise to power in spite of their weaknesses. They lead with power through their weaknesses because they have yielded, as you put it, they have surrendered themselves wholly to God. And I think the better that a leader tells his story of grace in his life, the better a leader is transparent with his executive team and with his staff, the more he invites others to consider their own stories of redemption, and the more he endears himself to those he is leading. So I think those are the two biggest lessons. And of course, how God loves to leverage weakness and minimize power to get his work done so that when the work is accomplished, he gets the glory.
Yes.
He gets the glory. You said that earlier, and I love it.
It's so true. Well, that is just beautiful. Well, tell me a little bit about, I mean, again, I really want our listeners go out and buy Johnny's books, buy her books. And I know the books are helping fund all these other things like Johnny's house and things like that, right?
Every
time somebody buys one of your books, Johnny, yep. that is important. But yeah, go out and get her books. But you know, your latest book is The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. And I, you may do the same thing, but every year I kind of choose a mantra for myself. So like in 2021, it was love more. Because I said, wow, if God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself, the two greatest commandments, I better learn how to do this better. So, you know, my mantra is love more. But this year, I've got two different mantras. And one of my mantras is practice presence, praise, and prayer. And I love that you have practice in your title.
Yeah.
Because it is something we practice, right, Johnny?
It is, and so many people look at me in this wheelchair, and certainly I have my discouraging moments. But for the most part, I'm smiling, I'm singing my way through suffering, I deal with chronic pain, I battled cancer twice, my lungs are in very poor condition, yet I'm sitting up after 58 years, and I'm happy, I'm content in the Lord God. And people have asked me, how do you get there? And so this little book is called The Practice of the Presence of Jesus. And if there were any book beside the Johnny book, which was my original autobiography, if there was any book I would ask your listeners to get, it would be this particular book, Practicing the Presence of Jesus. You know, I wake up and I'm discouraged because I'm in pain and I know it's going to be a long day and we have to go through a 2-hour routine of bed, bath, and toileting, and getting me dressed in bed, sitting me in the wheelchair, brushing my teeth, blowing my nose, brushing my hair, and I'm just overwhelmed before I get started. And so I say, Jesus, I need you, because I can't do this. Give me a promise to hang on today. What is the promise you want me to have? And it might be 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 8. Though we are hard pressed on all sides, we will not be crushed. It's a great promise to hang on to. And so all day long, I practice the presence of Christ by rehearsing one of his promises that keeps me going through the day. And of course, I've got to memorize promises so that I have one for the next, you know, week or 2 weeks or three weeks. And I do that in the afternoon when I have to be on my chest percussion therapy machine, which rattles me like a jackhammer, and it's very noisy, and I have to nebulize with this hissing nebulizer at the same time. I was discouraged about having to do that at first after my pulmonary hypertension, but then I thought this is a perfect time to memorize. So Ken opens my 3-ring binder of verses and Bible verses that I'm memorizing, and I do just that. I memorize these promises. And so that's just one way of practicing Christ's presence. Mm-hmm. And this book will explain a lot of other ways as well.
Oh, that's so good. Well, yes, I would highly, highly, highly encourage our listeners to go get the book. Well, Johnny, this is called Something Extra. What do you believe is the something extra that every leader needs? What do you believe is your something extra? Jesus.
Right. But something extra. This is going to be antithetical of what perhaps every leader on this podcast is listening to. But I want people to remember that the leaders in the Bible, the great leaders like Moses, like the Apostle Paul, like Jesus himself, like, Daniel and David, King David and Job. The leaders in the Bible that God chose, these people whose reputations and stories have lasted for thousands of years, all of them were more broken than strong. Now, God chooses leaders who are often more damaged than whole and more troubled than secure. So these are qualities not to be embarrassed about, But these are qualities to take to God and say, here, I've got a big weakness. I don't know how to deal with this and yet be effective in the workplace. Show me, teach me, guide me. I want to practice your presence with the staff today. You know, what do I do? What do I not do and say? I mean, God is on your side. He is for you and not against you. And he will help you to be the best executive that you can possibly be if we would but bring our weaknesses to him.
That's beautiful. That is so beautiful, Johnny. Well, I cannot thank you enough for this time. It has been just precious. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I cannot wait for our listeners to learn from you and to dig deeper, And just thank you for who you are.
Oh, thank you. I'm so honored to be on the podcast. And I just want to encourage everybody who's listening that that we are making, you are making an impact in this world. You are making an impact among your staff and in your network, your sphere of influence. And so don't waste it. Don't squander it.
Don't waste
it. It's big. It's a wonderful opportunity. So make certain that you are a people investor.
Yeah, I love that. A people investor. Well, thank you so much. And I cannot wait. I want to come and visit you.
Good. Whenever you're in LA, we'll set up lunch and you can tour the International Disability Center here and we'll do it.
Yeah, maybe I'll bring Allie with me, which would be really fun.
Thank you for listening to today's show. Something Extra with Lisa Nichols is a Technology Partners production. Copyright Technology Partners, Inc., 2019. For show notes or to reach Lisa, visit tpi.co/podcast. Don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you listen.